All right, so today we're diving deep into injection molding, specifically all those annoying bubbles that pop up in your products.
Bubbles.
You shared some awesome research with us.
Yeah.
How can you effectively deal with bubbles in injection molded products? Hopefully, we can extract the most valuable nuggets from it.
Sounds good.
Think of us as like your guides to achieving that flawless, smooth finish that every injection molder wants.
Right.
We'll break it down, share some insider tips, and by the end of this deep dive, you'll be a total bubble busting expert.
It really is about understanding why, behind those bubbles.
Right.
Once you know what causes them, you can figure out how to prevent them.
Yeah.
And that will mean less waste, better products, and in the end, a more efficient manufacturing process.
Okay, so let's get into it. Injection molding, we know it's everywhere. It's how we get everything from smartphone cases to like complicated car parts. But even the seasoned pros, they struggle with those pesky bubbles. So let's start by dissecting the injection process itself. What are some common pitfalls that can lead to bubble formation right from the get-go?
Well, the injection process, it's like setting the stage for the entire molding operation. If you get it wrong here, you're inviting bubbles to the party.
Oh no.
One of the biggest culprits is excessive injection speed.
Okay.
So think of it this way. You're forcing that molten plastic into this confined space. If it's rushing in too fast, the air gets trapped and it gets whipped into the mix. And well, that creates those bubbles we don't want.
Right. So slowing down that injection speed seems like a logical first step, but how much slower do we have to go?
Well, the research that you shared, it actually gives some specific numbers. Dropping that injection speed from 80 millimeters per second down to a more relaxed 40 to 60 can really reduce air entrapment.
Oh, okay.
It's like if you think about it, like easing into a parking spot instead of just slamming on the brakes, it's just a much smoother experience for the plastic and fewer chances of ending up with those bubbles.
Right. So that makes sense. Now, what about injection pressure? I imagine that plays a role too,
Oh,
right?
absolutely.
Too much pressure, and you might just squeeze those bubbles in tighter.
Yeah, excessive injection pressure is a real bubble maker. Think of it like overinflating a balloon. Seems fine at first, but then boom, you got a mess on your hands. The research recommends lowering the pressure from 100 MPa down to a more manageable 80 to 90. This way, it ensures the mold fills completely without forcing in excess air.
So we've adjusted the speed and the pressure.
Hmm?
Is there anything else we need to fine-tune during that injection process?
Hmm.
What about the time that the molten plastic is held in the mold, like the holding time,
Rolling
really?
time, yeah. It's often overlooked, but it's crucial for giving that trapped air a chance to escape. Imagine like pouring a carbonated drink. Those bubbles, they'll rise to the surface, but you got to give them time. Increasing the holding time from 5 seconds to a more relaxed 8 to 10, it can make a big difference. Lets that melt settle, gases escape, and you end up with a denser, more compact product.
So we've tackled the injection process speed, pressure, holding time, all key. But let's move on to the mold itself. I'm guessing a poorly designed mold can just be a bubble magnet, no matter how perfect your injection process is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. A well-designed mold, it's essential. One common issue is like an improperly positioned gate. The gate, remember, is the entry point for that molten plastic. And if it's not placed strategically, it can cause uneven filling and trap air.
So where should the gate be placed to avoid this this bubbly chaos?
Well, it depends on the product you're molding, right? For thin-walled containers, you might want to use a fan gate. That spreads the molten plastic out like a fan. And it can reduce air entrapment compared to a standard side gate. It's like gently diffusing that flow instead of it crashing against the mold wall.
I'm getting a visual of that. It makes sense. What other aspects of mold design should we watch out for? For bubble prevention, I mean.
Venting.
Venting.
Inadequate venting, it traps air inside the mold, and that leads to, you guessed it, more bubbles. Think of it like stuffy windows in a room. You need that proper airflow to keep things fresh. In mold design, that means incorporating well-designed exhaust channels and using breathable materials in key areas.
So those channels act as like escape routes for the trapped air.
Exactly.
And breathable materials like steel inserts with grooves can help vent any stubborn pockets.
Yeah, you got to give those bubbles a way out. And then there's temperature control. Uneven cooling of the mold, it can create vacuum bubbles. little pockets of emptiness that form because some areas solidify faster than others.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So maintaining consistent mold temperature is essential. What temperature range should we aim for?
The research recommends 40 to 60 degrees Celsius. That's a good starting point for many plastics.
Okay.
This ensures the whole mold cools uniformly, preventing those pesky vacuum bubbles. It's like baking a cake. You need a consistent oven temperature for it to rise evenly and avoid sinking in the middle.
Okay, so we've got the injection process and mold design covered, but what about the raw materials themselves? Can they be the source of bubble trouble even with a perfect process and a perfect mold?
Oh, absolutely. Think of it like baking a cake.
Right.
If your ingredients are off, your cake won't turn out right, no matter how good you are at mixing and baking.
Right, right.
The quality and preparation of your raw materials, it plays a huge role in bubble formation.
So what are some of the raw material pitfalls that we need to watch out for?
Moisture.
Oh, moisture.
Public enemy number one, especially with hygroscopic plastics like nylon. These materials, they're like sponges. They just absorb moisture from the air like it's their job.
Yeah.
And when that moisture-laden plastic is heated during injection molding, well, it vaporizes, creating those dreaded bubbles.
So we need to make sure those hygroscopic plastics are bone dry before they even get near the mold. What's the best way to achieve that?
The research gives specific drying recommendations for different materials. Nylon, for example, needs to be dried at 80 to 100 degrees Celsius for 4 to 6 hours.
Okay.
To eliminate that excess moisture. It's like preheating the oven. You got to get those pellets to the right temperature, hold them there long enough to drive out that unwanted moisture.
Okay. So thorough drying is crucial, especially for those moisture-loving plastics. What other precautions should we take with our raw materials to avoid a bubbly outcome?
Proper handling and storage are just as important.
Okay.
Contamination with dust or other foreign particles, it can also lead to bubbles. So keep those materials clean and in airtight containers. And remember, humidity is your enemy. Controlling the humidity levels in your storage area, it's key to preventing those hygroscopic materials from soaking up moisture like a thirsty camel.
It's like we got to treat those raw materials with respect. It's not just about throwing them in a bin and hoping for the best. Have you ever seen a real-world example of how neglecting that raw material prep can come back to, you know, bite you?
I did, actually.
Yeah.
I once worked on a project where we were battling these tiny but persistent bubbles for weeks.
Oh, no.
We tweaked the injection process, scrutinized the mold design. Nothing seemed to work. Turns out the culprit was a batch of nylon pellets that hadn't been dried properly.
Oh!
They were just sitting in a humid storage area, soaking up all that moisture.
Yeah.
It wasn't until we traced it back to the source that we were able to get rid of those bubbles.
Wow. That's a perfect example of how, like, seemingly small details can have a massive impact. So we've covered the big three: injection process, mold design, raw material preparation. Mastering these is like laying a solid foundation for bubble-free injection molding. But I have a feeling there are more tools in our bubble-busting arsenal.
You're right. There's one more fascinating aspect we need to discuss. Additives.
Oh.
Think of additives as our secret weapons in the fight against bubbles.
Okay.
They can be added to the plastic melt to enhance its properties.
Uh-huh.
And some are particularly good at helping those bubbles escape.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about these bubble-busting additives.
All right. Two key players are anti-foaming agents and surfactants. You've probably seen them in everyday products like paint and coatings.
Right.
They're what gives those products that smooth, even finish.
So how do they work their magic in the injection molding process?
Well, they reduce the surface tension of the molten plastic,
right,
make it less sticky, and allowing bubbles to rise and escape more easily. It's like adding a bit of soap to dishwater. It helps those stubborn grease bubbles break up and disappear.
That's a great analogy. So are anti-foaming agents and surfactants, are they a one-size-fits-all solution? Can we just throw them in and call it a day?
Well, hold on there.
Okay.
While these additives can be incredibly effective, it's crucial to use them carefully.
Right.
Adding too much of any additive can actually alter the plastic's properties, you know, in unintended ways.
Okay, yeah.
It can mess with its strength, flexibility, even its color.
So it's all about finding that balance, the Goldilocks zone of additives, if you will.
Exactly. You want just enough to help those bubbles escape, but not so much that you're compromising the integrity of your final product. The research actually has a table that lists various additives and their specific functions, which can help you choose the right ones.
This deep dive is already packed with insights. I'm starting to see how understanding the science behind bubble formation, it really gives us the power to control it. But before I move on to more advanced techniques, are there any other things to keep in mind when it comes to additives?
One important thing to remember is that different additives, they can interact with each other. It's not always as simple as adding one and then another. You got to consider the potential synergy or conflict between them.
So it's like a recipe. You can't just throw in a bunch of random ingredients and expect a delicious cake. You need to understand how each ingredient interacts to, to create a harmonious whole.
Choosing the right additives and ensuring they're compatible, that's key to achieving that smooth, bubble-free finish you're after.
Well, I think we've laid a solid foundation for understanding how to combat bubbles in injection molding. We've covered the crucial roles of injection process, mold design, raw material preparation, and even the world of additives. But I'm ready to level up. Let's move on to exploring some more advanced techniques in part two of our deep dive.
Sounds good. Welcome back to our deep dive into all the bubble busting techniques for injection molding.
I'm excited to be back. We've uncovered so much about those core principles of bubble prevention, from like fine-tuning the injection process to choosing the right additives. But I'm ready to take it up a notch. What advanced techniques can we explore to really conquer those bubbles?
Okay, let's start with gas-assisted injection molding. This is like adding a secret weapon to your arsenal. It involves injecting nitrogen gas alongside the molten plastic directly into the mold.
Nitrogen gas. That sounds pretty high tech.
Yeah.
But how does injecting gas actually help with bubbles?
So think of it this way. The gas, it acts like an internal pressure source, pushing that plastic outward to fill the mold more effectively. And here's the really cool part. As the plastic cools and solidifies the gas, it creates hollow channels within the part.
Okay, I'm trying to visualize this. So instead of having like solid plastic throughout, you're creating these internal cavities filled with gas. But how does that translate to fewer bubbles?
Well, those gas channels, they actually serve a few purposes. First, they help prevent sink marks, those annoying little depressions that can form on thick sections as the plastic cools and shrinks. Second, they actually act as internal reinforcement, making that part stronger and more rigid. And finally, because the gas is pushing the plastic outward, it helps prevent those pesky bubbles from forming in the first place.
So it's like a triple threat, I guess, against bubbles, sink marks, and weakness.
You got it.
But let's be honest, it sounds a bit complicated. Is gas-assisted injection molding something that every manufacturer can just readily adopt?
Well, it is true that gas-assisted injection molding requires some specialized equipment. And there's definitely a bit of a learning curve. It's not just a simple flip of a switch, you know. But the benefits can be pretty significant, especially for products with thick sections or complex geometries, where traditional injection molding might struggle to eliminate those bubbles.
So it's like choosing the right tool for the job. If you're dealing with those tricky parts where bubbles and sink marks are like a constant headache, maybe gas-assisted injection molding is worth the investment.
I would agree with that.
Okay, so gas-assisted injection molding is definitely on my radar now. What other advanced techniques should we explore?
Another interesting one is co-injection molding. This technique involves injecting two or even more different materials into the mold, creating a layered or composite structure.
Two different materials. Now that sounds really interesting, but why go through the trouble of using multiple materials?
Well, there's several reasons, actually. Sometimes you want to combine the properties of different materials. For example, a hard, durable outer shell with a soft, flexible inner layer. Other times, it's about cost savings, using a cheaper core material, and then a thin layer of a more expensive high-performance material on the surface. And believe it or not, co-injection molding can also help with, you guessed it, bubbles.
Okay, I'm hooked. How does co-injection molding prevent those pesky bubbles?
So imagine this. You first inject a thin layer of a special bubble-resistant material into the mold, and this acts as a barrier, preventing bubbles from forming in those subsequent layers. Then you inject the main material, which fills the rest of the mold.
So it's like putting down a layer of bubble wrap before packing a fragile item. You're creating a protective shield to keep those bubbles at bay.
And this technique has some other advantages too. You can achieve some pretty unique designs and functionalities, reduce material costs, and even improve the overall strength and durability of that product.
This is all so fascinating. It's amazing how much innovation is happening in the world of injection molding. But I gotta ask, are there any downsides or challenges that we should be aware of when it comes to these advanced techniques?
That's a great question, and it's important to be realistic about it.
Yeah.
While these techniques offer some really great benefits, they do come with some considerations.
Okay.
For instance, both gas-assisted and co-injection molding, they require specialized equipment and expertise.
Right.
It's not something you can just jump into without the proper planning and resources.
So it's not like a casual weekend project for the DIY enthusiast.
Definitely not. It's like, if you decide to build a house,
Right.
you wouldn't just grab a hammer and some nails and start hammering away, right?
Yeah.
You need a blueprint, the right tools, and a good understanding of the building process to create something that's structurally sound.
Right. Makes sense. What other factors should we consider before diving headfirst into these advanced techniques?
Material compatibility.
Okay.
That's crucial, especially for co-injection molding.
Right.
Not all plastics play well together.
Oh, okay.
Some might have different shrinkage rates or adhesion properties,
Uh-huh.
and that can lead to problems like warping, cracking, or delamination. It's really important to choose materials that are compatible and will work together harmoniously.
So it's like a recipe again. You need to make sure your ingredients complement each other. Otherwise, you might end up with a culinary disaster.
Exactly. And lastly, it's important to remember that these advanced techniques, they're not always the answer.
Right.
Sometimes simple adjustments to the injection process, mold design, or raw material preparation can be just as effective, if not more so, in achieving bubble-free perfection.
It's all about choosing the right tool for the job. Sometimes a simple screwdriver is all you need. Other times you might need a whole toolbox full of, specialized gadgets.
I like that analogy.
This journey into advanced injection molding techniques has been really insightful. We've gone from the basics to exploring these high-tech solutions for conquering those bubbles. I'm feeling pretty empowered, I gotta say. But I'm curious, what other hidden gems or expert tips can you share to really help us become true bubble busting masters?
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into, getting rid of those bubbles from your injection molded products. I feel like we've earned our bubble busting badges.
I think so.
We've covered so much from the basics of the injection process to all those high-tech solutions like gas-assisted and co-injection molding.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
But before we wrap up this epic trilogy, let's take a step back
Yep.
and crystallize some key takeaways. What are the most important things our listeners should remember as they embark on their own bubble busting adventures?
If there's one overarching message to take away, it's that, achieving a truly bubble-free product it's a holistic thing.
Right.
It's not just about one magic trick or secret ingredient.
It's about paying attention to every single stage of that process.
Right, so it's like building a house.
Yeah, exactly.
A weak foundation is going to lead to problems no matter how beautiful the roof is.
Absolutely. And those fundamentals, they start with a deep understanding of the injection process itself.
Right.
We've learned that controlling the speed, the pressure, and the holding time, those are absolutely crucial for preventing air entrapment. It's like finding that sweet spot in a recipe. Not too much, not too little, just the right amount of everything.
And speaking of balance, we can't forget about that mold design.
Oh, no.
It's not just a container for the plastic, it's this carefully engineered tool
Right?
that plays a huge role in bubble prevention. The placement and type of gate, adequate venting, maintaining that consistent temperature
It's like
control.
designing a race car, right?
Yeah.
Every curve, every vent, every detail is optimized for performance. And in injection molding, that performance translates to that smooth, flawless product.
And then, of course, we can't forget about those raw materials.
Oh.
We've seen how moisture can be a real bubble maker,
It's a big one.
especially with those hygroscopic plastics that just love to soak up moisture. Thorough drying and careful handling are essential.
Right. It's like prepping ingredients for a gourmet meal. You
Yeah.
wouldn't use wilted lettuce or stale bread, right?
Right, absolutely not.
You got to treat those raw materials with care and respect to ensure they perform their best.
And then we have those additives
Yes.
They're like the secret weapons in our bubble busting arsenal. Anti-foaming agents, surfactants.
Yeah, they can really work wonders in helping those bubbles escape, but we learned that it's important to use them wisely.
Right, don't overdo it.
Exactly. It's like adding spices to a dish. A pinch can enhance the flavor, but too much can just overpower everything else, you know?
So we've got our fundamentals, our advanced techniques, our secret weapons. What else can our listeners do to really, level up their bubble busting game?
You know, one of the best things you can do is just embrace that mindset of continuous learning and experimentation. The world of injection molding, it's always changing. New materials, techniques, technologies, they're always popping up.
So it's not a set it and forget it kind of industry.
Coop.
Got to stay curious, got to stay informed,
Yeah.
and be willing to try new things.
Exactly. You know, go to those industry conferences, read those trade publications, network with other professionals, never stop seeking out new knowledge and new insights.
And don't be afraid to experiment.
No.
Document that process, track those results, and analyze what works and what doesn't. Every project's a chance to learn and refine your skills.
Absolutely. The more you experiment, the more you'll understand those nuances of the process
Yeah.
and how different variables interact. It's like becoming a master chef.
Right.
You don't achieve culinary excellence by just following the same recipe over and over and over again. Got to experiment, innovate, and just constantly refine your techniques.
This deep dive has been an incredible journey.
It has.
We've demystified the science behind bubble formation, explored a whole bunch of practical solutions, and even delved into the world of advanced techniques and additives.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gained a whole new level of understanding and appreciation for injection molding.
It's been my pleasure sharing this exploration with you. And remember, that pursuit of a perfect bubble-free product, it's an ongoing journey. Embrace the challenge, never stop learning, and always try to push those boundaries of what's possible.
Well said. Listeners, we encourage you to continue exploring the world of bubble busting. Share your experiences, your successes, your challenges. Let's create a community of knowledge and innovation. And if you ever run into a particularly stubborn bubble, don't hesitate to reach out. We're always here to help you troubleshoot and conquer those bubbly foes. Until next time, happy molding.